I'll say something that'll blow you out of here since I've been yelling at you. We'll give them a minute to turn me on here and get me settled down. I want to just tell you, it's great for Peggy Lorraine and I to be here with you. You know, it's something we never really anticipated. I'll give you just a brief introduction. The other day, we were sitting in our dining room, looking out the window over the lake, watching the sun come up. It was probably 65 degrees, and I was anticipating the fish were going to really bite good today. And this afternoon, the golf balls are going to get warm enough I could really smack them. That's a joke, too. I don't ever really smack them, but anyway. We have this little deal somebody gave me. You flip it every day, and it gives you a new thought. And we go through those things, deciding which one it hit the worst, her or me. And we came to the conclusion, boy, this one hits us both. And it was saying something about you always expect the unusual from God. He don't ever work usual. You know, and so we were discussing what it might be. And we get this phone call. Would you pray about coming to New Life? No. I mean, to go from sun to snow? Geez, no. But we thought about it, and next call said, yes, we'll pray about it. Now, you see, you're not making any commitment except you're just going to pray. And since you pray every day, you ought to pray, right? You know, I miss old Steve. Steve was my one-thumb guy. You remember him? Okay. But I've got two over here. That are Gracie and her friend are going to, I forgot your name, I'm sorry. They're going to be my one thumb person, all right? You see them one thumb and you one thumb, okay. Now, without any further ado, I'm just doing this because, golly, I got all the time in the world, right? Didn't you say till I get through? You said it depends. I think Eddie said, if they get up and walk out on you, you ought to stop. You know, well, we'll try that. I'm just loosening up, folks. I'll jump straight up here in a minute, and we'll get with it. If you would, turn in your Bible to John chapter 1. Let me tell you, help you out here. That's on page 932. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. All the scripture I ever memorized was in King James. Well, not all I ever memorized, but most of what I memorized that I can still remember was in the King James, and so I'll just stay with that. And let me give a footnote. You would suppose that someone that's been practicing it for 60 years could preach a sermon. Amen? Well, that might be an erroneous supposition, too. But anyway, in the day in which we live, I think it is far more important that you know what I believe rather than whether or not I can preach. I've heard guys that could do it pretty good. We studied about one this morning in our Sunday school lesson, Ben, that was slick-tongued as could be. He was elegant in the word. He knew the Bible. But some layperson had to sit down and explain to him more completely the message from God. So, on Sunday night next, I will preach to you. So if you want to know how I preach, you better come back on that Sunday night. You'll remind him of that, won't you, Pastor? Okay, now, we're living. And if you're listening, we're living in a day that makes the title of this lesson, and that's all this is. This is just a lesson of this lesson, so very important. You'll note, and I'm sure that you follow very closely. All of the great evangelical leaders of this day, you know, the Billy Grahams and the David Jeremiahs and the Charles Stanleys and even Adrian Rogers from the grave. I still like to hear him preach. John Hagee, all those guys. And they're beginning all to sound a caution. And the caution is this, that we're living in a century of casual Christianity. I've had the privilege, thank God. I really never dreamed that I would. An old boy from the cotton fields of Arkansas having the opportunity to go literally around the world and preach the gospel. Folks, in the rest of the world, Christianity doesn't look like it looks like in the United States. Really. I wish that you would all have the joy of going to Korea and sitting down with a church. Oh, let me back up. I wish you had the joy of going to Korea and landing at the airport. Brother Mike Harris said to me as we went to Korea to preach, to do a crusade. Mike said, wow, as we landed in the airport, wow, there's a sense of something here. Folks, it was the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I, at that time, was a walker. Now I'm a creeper, but at that time I was a walker. And I walked at daylight every morning. And irregardless the street and irregardless the name of the brand on the church, at daylight every morning before they went to work, the churches were filled with people praying. And I'll tell you what, you had no difficulty in knowing what they were doing. You could hear them from the street. Now, I heard this quote several years ago, had it written in the flyleaf of my Bible, and as I was preparing this lesson, I reread it. Christianity, and this is applied to the churches in America, Christianity has become so subnormal that normal Christianity appears to be abnormal. Someone really sold out to Jesus, someone really on fire for God, someone who reads the Bible and allows the Holy Spirit of the living God to direct and lead their lives, almost in about any church you put him or her, almost appears to be a weirdo. So, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but will teach his doctrine the commandments of men. So it's important, very important that we understand biblical doctrine. And I want to tell you this morning what I believe. Now, if you are not looking for a pastor with these beliefs, don't call me, because I believe this so strongly that I stand on it and it alone. Now, there is no attempt to exegete this scripture. I just want to take it. We want to look at it. Look at verse 1. In the beginning, God. By the way, let me tell you, there was a beginning. And it wasn't some little one molecule or whatever that little thing was floating around and one day bumped into another and a million years later bumped into another and a million years later bumped into another till finally it was a speck. And then that speck become, you know, and there was a beginning. And guess, listen, God was in the beginning. Now, of course, you know the Scriptures teaches that was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Trinity. I believe that all of those are our God. I believe that we worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I believe that those three are in total and absolute control. And nothing happens without their permission. Now, people come to me, why did God do that? Well, who said God did it? He may have given Satan privilege. Do you remember the book of Job in the Bible? He may have given Satan the opportunity to do it just to prove that you and I are what we say we are. Oh, time out. And I'm not trying to embarrass you, but if you call yourself a believer, a Christian, would you raise your hand? You need to give that testimony. Shake it like this. Stick up your thumbs. Amen. Okay. Now, in the beginning, God. Let's look at God the Father. Now, you won't say creator. Nope. Nope. Now, I think he had a hand in it, but he's not the creator. Stay with me, and we'll get to that in a minute. But God the Father is holy. God the Father is righteous. God the Father is everlasting. He always has been. Before there was anything else, there was God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and he always will be. Okay. He is everlasting to everlasting. And by the way, he's supreme. You understand what I said? There's just no other God besides him. Got it? Then there's, I'm going to move along. I'm just bird's eye viewing this for you. And then there's God the Son. Jesus. Born of a virgin who conceived by the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? Don't stick up your thumb, because I don't. If you do understand that, you come tell me. I need to know. I've been at it 60 years, and I still hadn't figured it out. But I'll tell you this. The Word of God says it, and I believe it. Born by a virgin. Young virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Lived a sinful life. I heard a sinless life. I heard a guy the other day on the radio, and he was talking about when Jesus was a teenager in the children's department in the Sunday school, going to vacation Bible school. Listen, folks, I'm trying to get you with me here. He was like other kids. He'd stump his toe, and he'd fuss and cry. Don't you believe that garbage? The Word of God says he was tempted with every sin like you and I are tempted with, and yet, with every temptation, he was without sin, sinless. And there's a whole lot in between when he was born and when he hung there on Calvary's cross. Paying sin's price in full. God the Father has demanded from the very outset that blood, you remember Cain and Abel back in the Garden of Eden, that blood be the redeemer. And he's hanging there, shedding his precious blood for your sin and for my sin, that we today might stand here and call ourselves children of God, Christians. By the way, the greatest thing I can say about the Father is he's my daddy. To wit, that Christ, we're in Christ, and God allows us to call him Abba. That's daddy, father. Now, and so the Son was crucified. And 3 days later, he arose from the grave. Whatever that means, he arose from the grave. Psalm says, from the deep. Some translations say one thing, but I'll tell you this. I believe with all my heart that in Jerusalem, right outside of there, there is an empty grave from which Christ came. And he ascended. I heard a guy the other day explaining to a neighbor of mine the gospel. Well, the gospel is Christ was born of a virgin. And that Christ died on Calvary, and that Christ will save you if you ask him. You've got to go further than that with the gospel. You see, Christ ascended. Christ sat down at the right hand side of our Father in heaven to be our advocate. And there is only one, by the way. Listen to me. There's only one advocate. There's only one propitiation for our sins, and that is Jesus and Jesus alone. There's only one sitting at the right hand side of the Father. And when we look to him and say, Father, he says, listen. Now, I don't, not necessarily that, but anyway, listen. Ours is speaking. That's why we have an audience. It doesn't make any difference whether it's 1 in the morning or 1 in the afternoon. It doesn't make any difference whether it's on a crisis or you just want to look up and say, I love you. He hears your prayer. And then there's God the Holy Spirit. John 16 says, Jesus said, I'm going to go away. And they wasn't too happy about that. You understand that, don't you? You know, hey, here's, we've been following him. He's leading us, and now he's going away. And they didn't understand it. But he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send another. That word there, another, is parakeet. Just what we get our word parakeet from. And it means one just like me. One that'll say what I'm saying. And when he has come, he, the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will teach you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will, Acts 1:8, he will empower you. You will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you, by the way, for a reason, I was talking to a guy in our community the other day that went to a church and got the Holy Ghost. Who'd you witness to? He said, what? I said, come on, man. You said you got the Holy Ghost. Who did you witness to? Listen to, again, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be my witness. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, you'll be my witness. Who'd you witness to, fella? Well, I didn't. I fell out on the floor. Woke up just feeling like I'd been raptured. Oh, was you? Let me challenge you. Listen, as you study in your study time the Word of God, you find anywhere that relationship to the Holy Spirit has feeling with it. Okay? Now, there's all kinds of examples, Paul and Silas in jail and prison and on down the line. And, you know, there's all kinds of examples. But listen, always when one is filled and somebody asks me, have you received a second blessing? Yeah. You really have? Yeah, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the fifth, about 500 or so down the road. I haven't counted them, but I want to tell you, every time the Holy Spirit has touched my life, touched my soul, touched my spirit, it has been to perform that which I could not do in my own strength and in my own power. Now, that clock is, if somebody put two batteries in it, it's going too fast, okay? Okay. Now, moving right along. Uh-oh, my printer was running out of ink and I didn't notice it. Okay. Then there's the Word of God. I believe God to be holy, supreme, everlasting to everlasting. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men who will allow him. I think that whosoever will may come still applies. I think that God was not slack concerning his promise to usward, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. By the way, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, that includes you. And you'll go out those doors either believing in Jesus Christ and having a brand new life, because when Jesus comes into your life, he makes a new creation out of you. You become a new creation, and that creation continues day after day after day to become more like Jesus. Amen? Hey, All right. Okay. Now, I believe in the written Word of God. I believe that men of God, holy men of God, as the Scriptures say, wrote as God gave them instruction. I believe that every word in this book, from cover to cover, from the index to the maps, I believe that every bit of it, wholly inspired of God. God breathed, and it is inerrant, it is infallible, it is without any mixture in truth. It is total truth. I guess that brings me to that place of someone said, well, now, preacher, what translation? I've been asked this question. What translation do you use? Well, on my shelf, I've got several. Some I don't refer to often, and some that I refer to all the time. But listen to me. Hear this. Every translation I've ever read told me more than I was put into practice in my life. Now, that's what it's about. It's not about reading it. I hear guys advocating you ought to read your Bible. I advocate that, but let me tell you, I advocate all the more you ought to do what it says. If it says live a pure, clean, holy life, you ought to do that. If it says you ought to witness, you ought to do that. If it says you ought to pray, you ought to... Listen, if you'll let it, you open the book about anywhere and it'll tell you something you are not doing or need to be doing the more of. I believe that this book has with it a drawing power. I think God has two agencies with which He uses to draw men. Listen, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by your imagination. Hearing comes by the Word of God. A man the other day told me I was used to reading the Bible all the time, but I couldn't understand it. You ever hit that? You ever open a book and you can't understand it? Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to start practicing that part you do understand. Got me? Let me throw in a freebie, okay? For instance, what does the Bible say about going to church? Over the book of Hebrews, it says, hey gang, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but all the more as you see the day approaching. And then listen, you need to begin right there and read what happens when you, it says, for if we sin willfully, now I'm getting a negative bunch of votes right here, okay. We won't count those when the vote comes. For if we sin willfully after we've been instructed in the Word of God, here's what we do. We walk underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. You would never do that, right? We make the working of the Holy... You see this? See what we've been saying? We make the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives of no effect. Now listen, if the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God can't reach you, those are the true drawing agencies that God has. Now I'll tell you what will lead people to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit of God is your testimony. See, you can't give your testimony and have anybody argue with it. I can stand here and tell you that when I was 14 years old in a revival meeting in the cotton fields of Arkansas, a preacher was preaching, and I came to the place of realizing there was a great, big, open spot in my life. Down in here somewhere. And when I said, Jesus, save me, He moved into that spot, filled it full. He began that day to make me a new creation. By the way, he's still trying to make me a new creation. I hope one day I get just exactly like he wants me, and he'll say, before he changes, I'm going to take him to heaven. Forsake not the assembly yourselves together. Well, now then, there one other I do want to make sure I cover with you, and that is the church. What do I believe about the church? Well, I'm aware that there is a sense of universalism or universal church. That's all believers everywhere. Those believers that we led to know the Lord in Korea. Those believers that we led to know the Lord out on the Zambezi River in Africa. Those believers, most all of them atheists. We weren't very effective with the Orthodox, but in Russia we had an opportunity to share with the unbelievers there. Let me footnote again, okay? Listen, in America, you run across an old boy that says he's an atheist. He's just a God-hater. The educated, taught atheists just don't think there is one. So they have no problem talking about God with you. They just don't believe there is one. If you can come to that place of showing them God, and boy, you listen, let me tell you something. There your testimony kicks in. They couldn't tell me that my life hadn't been changed. They couldn't tell me that I was so much happier, so much better off, you know, now than I was before I was saved. They couldn't tell me that, because how could they? I know. They don't know. By the way, don't ever run around with your tongue hanging out saying, oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. You know, being a Christian's never got my nose busted. Being a Christian's never got me walked on like I was somebody's rug. In fact, you know what? I find it awful, awful good. Get your thumbs ready. I find it awful, awful good to be a child of God. Amen? I'm not going to go anywhere. He's not going to be with me. I'm not going to do anything he's not going to help me with, as long as it's in his will. You know, and listen, he always, in the darkest moment, is the greatest light. He always is right there. When Peggy Loreen hadn't fried the cornbread right, to come along and help me out. Okay? By the way, time out. Babe Stan, this is Mrs. Smith, Peggy Loreen. She's followed me around for about 60 years, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Indiana, and everywhere else that God wanted us to go. And so when we received a call, she said, well, if it's the Lord's will, that's what counts. That's what you wives are supposed to do, the church, the church. Ephesians chapter 5, is that about 23? Ladies, sharpen up your elbow. Come on, get ready. Men, love your wives. Even as Christ, get him, loved the church and gave himself for it. Let me tell you this. I know that there's a universal concept, but about 90% of the time when the Bible refers to the church, to New Life Church, to Eagle's Nest Church, where we are serving, we're serving, to Mill Creek, where we were in Kentucky. When it says church, it's talking about in Ephesians 4, it says that God gave some in the church to be apostles, teachers, evangelists, pastors, and perhaps peanut rollers. Are you awake? What if you're the peanut roller? You're the one that God wants to roll up and down these aisles, peanuts, with his nose. Let me tell you, you're honored. Are you with me? I believe that. You're honored. This is the body of Christ. We are to lift it up. We are to do everything. By the way, he goes on there in Ephesians and say, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, I've confessed to you, I'm not perfect yet. So you might be thinking right now, yeah, we could help that old boy a whole lot. Good. For the perfecting of the saints. And for the edifying of the church. Let me put a Smith translation to that right quick. For your part in making the church number one. The church is more important than you. Lost some more votes right there. The church takes precedence over me, you, or anyone else. We are members of His body. This church is the body of Jesus Christ. Now, Bob, if everybody does everything that God has gifted them and the Holy Spirit led them here to do, this church is just going to get it and do it and be it. Amen? All right. Now, I just want to mention, were they lying to me about what time we get out of here? Okay. Now, folks, I'm just, this is a lesson. This is not preaching. Okay. This is not exhaustive in any sense of the word. But in a nutshell, let me tell you, there are some doctrine that are important that we must not, if we forget them, if we don't apply them, we are then into that crowd called casual Christians. First of all, salvation is by grace. Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me tell you in a nutshell what you do. You throw yourself totally at the mercy of God. You're never going to do anything to be good enough to be saved. And you just sit and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you're God's gift in salvation. Save me. I believe you will. And he does. I can't explain it any more than that. But he does. And then in that moment he begins, if you will allow him, he begins to create in you newness. And newness, and newness. You look at things different, you feel about things different, and you treat people different, and you relate to God differently. That's salvation. You remember over there in Romans chapter 10, for what saith it? The word of God is near you, even in your heart and in your mouth. That's the word of faith that we preach. And if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I skipped a story. Maybe it'll help you revive a little bit. Back there about God. In the Sunday school class, Adrian Rogers told this story. He just said there was a little boy. And his name was Johnny. And the teacher was saying there was no God. And Johnny took up the argument. And the teacher said, Freddie, let's just prove to Johnny there's no God. Go outside, look all around. Come back in, I want to ask you a question. He went outside, came back, said, did you see God? No, ma'am. Well, Freddie, go back outside and look up and look all over and come back in. Did you see God? No, ma'am. See? There's no God. And Johnny said, teacher, don't I get my turn? Said, yes, surely. What are you going to say now? Said, Freddie, go up there and look at the teacher's left ear. And he did. He said, you see a brain? No. Said, well, go over there and look in her right ear. Do you see a brain? He said, no, she don't got one. When I become your pastor, Right after that joke, I'm going to quit because that didn't steer you much either. Let me mention two or three other things that I think are so important. Salvation, sanctification. I like to debate this, but we're not going to debate it today, so don't you stand up and counter me, okay? But I like to debate this. Sanctification is a threefold application. You see, I have been sanctified. My spirit has been sealed forever. Nobody breaking that seal. In John 10, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them. They follow me, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone take them out of my hand. For my Father who gave them me is greater than all. Nobody can take them out of his hand." We're sealed till the day of redemption. Now then, but I'm being sanctified. You see, I told you a while ago, I'm not perfect yet. My soul is in the process of sanctification. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Over and over and over, we're instructed to become more like Jesus, by the way. And I'm going to be sanctified. Thought you already was. I am. Thought you were being. I am. But listen, this body, this old knee, this old shoulder, can't even pull my bow and arrow anymore. Climbing up steps, you know, just all those things. They don't work like they used to. But hallelujah, one day, God's going to say, "All right, son, you're as close as you're going to get. Come on home." And hallelujah, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new body. And I want to tell you, I don't know how it's going to be. Paul said, we don't know what it's going to look like, but we know this. It's going to be like Jesus. Good enough, amen? Now then, let's go to redemption. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It is Christ, Paul said, it is Christ who hath redeemed us. Now, I know this is not you. I know you're not this way. But listen, I was just a rotten, miserable, stand up and testify, babe, if you want to. I mean, good for nothing to the bone. Really, I'm not blowing smoke at you, and I wasn't too old being all that yet. Oh my, as I stand here today and realize that, if I'd have kept down that road, what would I have been? But he redeemed me. Now, what does that mean? Romans chapter, Anyway, I believe it's Romans chapter 10. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed." You see, God redeemed me. Jesus redeemed me. I should say, Jesus redeemed me to make me just what God had designed me to be. The old boy said, "I'm not all I ought to be, but hallelujah, I'm not what I used to be." So then, there is the drawing. I want to close with this. Folks, I believe this, that God uses two agencies and perhaps two and a half to draw us. For Jesus said, no man. Now you're here today, and if you're not saved and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen to me, you better pay attention. No man can come to me except my Father draws him. But now here's the Father's position. God is not slack concerning us, for to some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all, that includes you, that all should come to repentance. So if you're here today and you have never put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, You know not of redemption. You know not of sanctification. You know not of justification. It's all for you. I want to give you a testimony. And it's so much better than what you have if you don't know Him now, that I'm telling you, it'll blow your mind. Really? You've heard those people say, oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. They're wrong. They're as wrong as they can be. The most glorious thing in the world is to walk by faith, hand in hand with the Holy Spirit as He leads you in the ways of God. So, where do you stand today? You could memorize this whole sermon. Wouldn't do you a bit of good unless the Holy Spirit was drawing you. God uses His Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God uses the Holy Spirit. No man can come to me unless my Father draw him. And God uses believers' testimony. If you'd like to give testimony today, that to be a child of God is a great way to live, would you just raise your hand? Being a child of God is a great way to live as we live in Jesus Christ. It can't be beat, folks. You may be here and you don't know that. You've not experienced that. Pastor Jimmy is going to come stand right here, and we're going to come and have an invitation. Brother Randy. We're going to come and have an invitation. He was one of those sleeping and caused me to quit. I can play with Randy because he loves me and I love him in the Lord Jesus. Okay?